Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, we thank you for each person that is here. Father, we know our hearts and minds are heavy. Life has been chaotic. And Lord, we ask that your peace may just come in. Lord, may we take our struggles, may we take the things that we've been holding on to and just place them at the feet of the cross, knowing that you're the one who gives us peace. You're the one who gives us hope. You're the one who gives us a future. Lord, may we just worship you and make you our focus today. We pray this all in Jesus' name.
Let's stand and worship. Come thou fount.
Come thou fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise his name, I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love. And hitherto thy love has blessed me, thou hast brought me to this place.
Three is probably my favorite time of the service. It's the time where we, as a body of believers, get to come together and we get to lift up those in our lives that don't know Jesus and to pray for them. And we know that God hears our prayers. Since we started doing this a couple years ago, we've had well over 18 people come to know who Jesus was throughout those prayers. And man, does our world need Jesus today. You know, it's been a really crazy week for our nation, all the way across. I was really trying to figure out how I wanted to, but, you know, on Tuesday, there was a young woman riding a train home, and she was killed for simply riding the train. On Wednesday, we had students get up, go to school, only to face a gunman inside of it. And then we had a public figure publicly assassinated. Each one of these events represents the evil inside of our world. Each one of these events represents what's going on around us. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil and spiritual forces in heaven. You know, we can change every law in the books today. We can do everything we can by man's power to try to control evil. But at the end of the day, evil is still evil. And the only way to defeat evil is through Jesus Christ. The only way that things change is through Jesus. And that's why we have My3. That's why we set aside time each and every week. Why I encourage you guys to set aside time each and every day to pray for those in the world around you that don't know who Jesus is. Because the only way things change is through Christ. The only way things genuinely change and the hearts and mind change is through Jesus. That's why we set aside this time, to lift those up who don't know him. Because it's only when the hearts are softened that we can come into that relationship with Jesus and that our lives can be transformed. With all of that being said, there is also a celebration I want to celebrate today. Today, we are celebrating the fact that somebody else came to know who Jesus was through My3. I found out that they just found out this week that they said yes to Jesus a few weeks ago, and this morning, not here, but this morning, they're being baptized in the church in their own community. And I just want to say praise God for that, that God is still moving. We have evil all around us, things are happening, but God is also still moving, and he is still winning at the end. So at this time, what I want you to do is I want you to think about those people in your lives that don't know Jesus, and I want you to lift them up by name, not just halfway, but I want you to take them and place them at the feet of the cross, knowing that Jesus is the only thing that will change any of this. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you for the privilege and the honor we have to come to you in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for what your son Jesus did. And Lord, even though the world seems heavy around us, even though things at times may seem out of control, Lord, we know that when we trust in you, you will guide our steps. And Father, we know so many people in our lives that don't know you, that are walking around not knowing the goodness of you and how you made a way where there was no other way. Lord, we lift them up by name at this time, that they may come into relationship with you, that they may learn who you are and how much you love them. Lord, we just ask that you do that new work, and that you give us the strength and the boldness to be bold for you for the sake of the gospel. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So this song is actually called King of My Heart, and we can simply say and declare this morning that he is still good. And he is still king and sitting on his throne. So let's declare that this morning.
Oh,
sails. The anchor in the waves, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days.
Thank you. Jesus is still king. He's still sitting on that throne. My prayer today is that we all keep our eyes fixed on him. He is our firm foundation.
Faithful through generations.
there all the time. He knows all of your troubles and sorrows. But we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. When we focus on the problems, we're putting our problems above Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on Him. That puts the focus on Him. Rains came, winds do blow, but He is always there. Let's go back to that bridge again. Rain came.
Father, we just say thank You that You never fail us. You are always there for us. So, Father, this morning we just lay everything at Your feet because You are good and You're still on the throne. You're still King.
Church. Man, it's an honor to be here with each and every one of you guys as we get to dive into the scriptures and just learn more about who God is, how we get to come together and we get to worship our Lord and Savior. I want to welcome everybody here this morning. I want to welcome our guests that are joining us and those joining us online and the radio. We are thankful for each of you as well. But before we dive into the scripture, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for the way that you guide us and give us direction for our lives. Lord, as we prepare to dive into your words today, may it be your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Otherwise, Father, we pray that it penetrate even the hardest of hearts. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last week in our Life of Christ series, we wrapped up Luke chapter 15, and this morning we're going to be diving into Luke chapter 16. And the title of the message is simply, Who is Your Master? And the title this morning comes from the very last sentence of the passage we're looking at today, where it states, You cannot serve both God and money. What's interesting here is the Wall Street Journal had a quote some years ago from an anonymous person who defined the word money. They said, money is an article which may be used as a universal passport to everywhere except heaven. It's a universal provider for everything except happiness. Yet so often we allow money to be the thing that rules our lives instead of letting it serve us. You know, money is a wonderful servant. It can allow us to do a lot of wonderful things, but it's a horrible master. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from their faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. You know, inside of our passage here, what Paul was telling us is that Paul was not telling us that money is evil. He's not saying that. In fact, we know money can be used for a lot of wonderful things, can't it? We use money to provide the things that we need. We use money to provide for things that others need. You know, how do we help the needy and the poor if we don't have money to use inside of those moments? How do we provide for our family if we don't have the financial means that we need inside of those money moments? Money in and of itself is not evil. But what Paul is getting at inside of that verse is it's the love of money is where the problem begins. The problem begins when we start elevating money above everything else. When we start elevating the things that money can provide us, even over God. And we start to trust the money more than what we trust God. And we start to pursue more and more money. And we start allowing it to become the God of our lives. We start allowing the possessions that we have to become gods of our lives. And what's really important starts being put on the back burner. You know, our relationship with God often takes a hit when we start doing that. Our relationship with our families start taking a hit when that's all that we're pursuing. If we're out and about pursuing after money, how can we spend time investing in our children's lives? And Jesus understood the power and control that money can have in our lives. In fact, he talked about money on multiple occasions using different parables to help us understand how money and possessions can control our lives. And this week, as I was getting ready for the message, I found myself wondering, why does Jesus talk about this? I mean, we know a lot of Jesus' followers were very poor, weren't they? They were very poor people who didn't have much for themselves. So why was Jesus talking about money? And I think the reason is because it comes down to the audience around Jesus was no different than us here today. You know, so often the people around him who had very little believed that if they could only have a little bit more money, if they could only have a little bit more items or possessions or so forth, then suddenly all their life's problems would be solved. And we can find ourselves in the same boat so quickly where we start believing that if we have enough money, if we just had a little bit, you know, who wouldn't like an extra $1 million just sitting in their bank account one day? You know, wake up in the morning. It feels like everything would just suddenly be so much better. But the reality is it may take care of temporary things, but it doesn't take care of eternal things. And Jesus wasn't blind to the fact that his followers were in need. You know, he gave them instructions on how they are to work together, how they are to take care of each other. He encouraged his followers to share with one another everything they had, to share their blessings that he had given them with each other. And it wasn't just something that Jesus talked about. In fact, the early church willingly shared their possessions with those around them, with the less fortunate in the community. It tells us in Acts 2, 44 and 45, that now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed proceeds to all as any had need. And we see it again over in Acts chapter 4. It tells us, For there was not a needy person among them, because all those who had owned lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. This was then distributed to each person as they had need. And this isn't nearly the only examples that the New Testament has of this. This idea of the community coming together, working together, taking care of each other. It wasn't just a suggestion that Jesus had. It was something his followers actually did. You see, it's not the money that is evil. It can do a lot of wonderful things. It's when we start elevating the money, when we start elevating possessions. This is where greed, selfishness, and pride start to take hold of our lives, and it's where the problems begin. And we saw all of that in our passage last week. In our passage last week, we saw Jesus talking about the prodigal son and the elder son. Both of these young men in our story last week had two very different philosophies in life. The prodigal son thought that all the wealth and money that he had would get him happiness, only to see it all wasted away in front of him, where he squandered everything until he had nothing left, only to realize at the end is when he returned to his father is where he found true joy. It's where he found true happiness. But on the other hand, we had the older son, the one who just kind of drudged through life, and he wanted to hoard the finer things for himself and didn't want to share it with anyone else. Both attitudes were wrong. Instead, as Christians, we are called to approach life differently. We are called to invest our lives in everything that God has given us for the good of others and the glory of God. Our homes that God has blessed us with to open up, to share the good news with others inside of it. The food that he's placed on our tables to share with those who are in need. Everything we have because of him. And inside of our passage this morning, we're going to see Jesus emphasizing that life is about stewardship, using the opportunities that God has given us to serve him and to serve others, to use our gifts, talents, and resources faithfully for the kingdom of God. Because we have to remember there will be a day that will come where we have to give an account to Jesus for what we've done with everything that he's given us, our time, our talent, and our treasure. And how we use these blessings that he's bestowed in our lives. Because if we're honest with ourselves, if we look not just inside of our own community, but if we look at the world around us, we are a tremendously blessed people. We are a blessed people beyond measure. Did you know the bottom 5% of Americans in wealth live better than the bottom 70% of the world? Our poorest live better than the 70% of the world. So let's dive into our passage this morning and start breaking it down. We're going to be over in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13 for anyone who wants to follow along. And I'm going to tell you guys ahead of time, this is a little bit of a difficult passage. It's one that we can find ourselves wrestling. If we just read through it quickly, we may even be left just scratching our heads going, what is Jesus trying to tell us inside of this? My goal for today is that you have a better appreciation and understanding of what Jesus is saying inside of our passage when we're done. That you feel challenged and that you feel encouraged. So let's dive in and start with the first two verses where it reads, "Now he said to the disciples, there was a rich man who received an accusation that his manager was squandering his possessions. So he called the manager in and asked, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you can no longer be my manager.'" You know, Jesus opens up his teaching this morning by focusing in on a place in society that most of his listeners had never been, and that was the realm of the rich, the realm of the wealthy. You know, we often think about this gap between the rich and the poor inside of our nation, but the gap back then was even so much greater than it is today. The rich man in our story had a manager that would manage his wealth. And the rich man would have had a lot of trust in his managers. He would have trusted that the manager would use his resources well, and the manager would serve him faithfully. Now, being the manager had its privileges. He often got to enjoy the master's wealth and what the master had. But the trick was, the manager had to remember that everything around him belonged to his master and not him personally. And this particular manager had forgotten about that. He'd forgotten that he was called to be a good steward of his master's possessions. And he began to act as if they were his own. And he became the prodigal steward. He wasted what the master had. He wasted the wealth and the resources. I'll give you a quick little modern-day possible equivalent here to help us a little bit understand. You know, some people have financial managers, people who manage their money for them. Well, if you had a financial manager and they began to mismanage your money, if they started to steal from you, how long would you keep them as your financial manager? You would fire them, right? You would get rid of them. It wouldn't last long. And that's what we see happening here. The rich man in a story, he found out that the manager he had hired was wasting everything, and he decided it was time to audit the books and fire the guy. And it makes sense to us. You know, we can be very quick, though, to judge the man in our story. He was clearly robbing his boss, and he was using what wasn't his for his own gain. But Jesus is trying to make a point inside of this passage. He's trying to make a point for us in our own lives. You know, we can be quick on that judgment there, but we need to look inside of our own lives. We need to ask ourselves, how faithful of a steward have we been with what's been given to us? How faithful of a steward have you been with what God has given you? How are you using your time? How are you using your talents and your resources? Are you using them for your own good or for His glory? Whether you've been given a lot or whether you've been given a little, one day you have to answer to God on how you use those gifts, talents, and resources that He's given you. You know, as Christians, we are called to be good stewards with everything that God has given us. It goes beyond paying our tithes. I know if you're like me and you grew up in church, we heard a lot about paying your 10% and going through that. And then we think, well, the other 90% then is for mine to do however I please. And I'm not saying anything against tithing. It's a blessing to be able to give, and it's something that God calls us to, but it's not about the 10%. It's not about that. We need to remember that everything we have is because of God, that all of our time, talents, and treasures are because of God, and we've been given them, and we're called to steward them for His glory and not our own. I mean, just let's take a look at how we steward our time. If we're honest with ourselves, we know that we waste a lot of time. I'm as guilty as the next person at times at this. How many hours a day do you sit there scrolling through social media? It takes a while. You can sit there and get sucked in very quickly. How many hours a day can you binge watch TV shows? Sit there one episode after another after another. Yet we can't find 5 minutes of our day to spend time in prayer. We can't spend 5 minutes reading God's word. We can't spend 5 minutes to sit down and hear someone's story and to see the struggles that they're facing currently in life. To be that encouragement, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Because what's our excuse? We're too busy. We don't have time. It's the same thing with our talents. So often we squander our talents away that God has given us. In 1 Peter 4:10, it actually tells us, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others as good stewards of the varied grace of God. Now, as Christians, we are called to steward the gifts and the abilities that God has given us. We're called to use these gifts and abilities to serve others and not just ourselves. You know, if you're really good with your hands and working and stuff, maybe there's somebody that needs help inside of our community. It doesn't have to be through the church. But if you know somebody that's in need and you have the ability to help, that God has gifted you in that way, use that. If you're someone who's able to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, do it. Whatever your gifting is, use your gifts for Him. You know, the thief says, what is yours is mine and I'll take it. The selfish man says, what is mine and I'll keep it. But the Christian, we are called to say, what is mine is a gift from God and I'll share it. To use our talents and abilities to win the lost for the sake of Christ. to encourage our brothers and sisters to stay strong in their faith, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to meet the needs of those that are hurting in the world around us, to use everything we have to invest in the lives of others in our communities. This is what God calls us to do with everything he's given us. And it's how we use our time, talents, and treasures that we get to steward the greatest gift of all, which is the good news of Jesus. It's how we use that to spread the gospel message. And we're called to invest that gift into everyone around us. Now, the manager in our story this morning was more worried about himself than others. And Jesus continued in the story, verses in 3 and 4, where he said, "Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I'm removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes.'" The manager knew he was losing his job. He was losing his livelihood, and he had but a short window of time before he was going to be fired. And he couldn't change the past. But he could change everything that was about to happen to prepare for the future. It tells us in verses 5 through 7. "So he summoned each one of the master's debtors. 'How much do you owe my master?' he asked the first one. 100 measures of olive oil,' he said. 'Take your invoice,' he told him. 'Sit down quickly and write 50. Next he asked another, 'How much do you owe?' 100 measures of wheat,' he said. 'Take your invoice,' he told him, 'and write 80. In his mind, he thought the best way to prepare for the future was to make friends of his master's creditors, the ones who were indebted to him, people he thought would take care of him after his master threw him out. And he did this through giving them all a large discount. He took the debts that were owed to the master, and he cut them way down. And of course, all the creditors were more than glad to pay up in this moment with everything they were about to save. And after he did all of this, it tells us in verse 8, the master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the children of this age are more shrewd than the children of light in dealing with their own people." You know, it's hard for us to believe that the master praised him for this clever plan. But there wasn't much the master could do at this moment. The man still had authority as the manager to act on the master's behalf and make these binding deals. Now, let me be clear about something. Jesus is not commending the manager for robbing his master. He's not saying that's okay. He's not telling us to go and be dishonest with the world around us. But that second part of this verse is the point that Jesus is trying to make. The children of this age are more shrewd than the children of the light. The children of the age is referring to unbelievers like the manager in our story. You know, the manager looked at the situation that was in front of him, made some decisions, and came up with a strategy to do what he thought was needed. Now, Jesus was not condoning the dishonesty, but he was talking about the manager's foresight to follow through to make friends. He continued in verse 9 and said, "And I'll tell you, make friends for yourself by means of worldly wealth, so that when it fails, they may welcome you into eternal dwelling." Jesus is saying, use the resources that you have to benefit others and make friends. Use the time, talents, and treasures that he's given you to build those relationships with those around the world, to help others see who Christ is. You know, God hasn't given us everything we have just for us to squander and waste it away. He's given us the blessings that we have in our lives to steward them, to use them to reach others for the sake of Christ. Jesus continues in 10 through 12, and he says, "Whoever is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. Whoever is unrighteous in very little is also unrighteous in much." So if you have not been faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you with what is genuine? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you what is your own? It's here that we see Jesus talking about how we use the gifts and talents that he's given us. Do you know how to use your own wealth? how to use your time and your talents and your resources and the gifts that God has given you. Because how you use them shows how trustworthy of a person that you are. And you can, if you can be trusted with a little bit, maintaining integrity in the small matters, it shows that you can be entrusted with the large things as well. It's kind of like this idea, if someone is willing to steal a dollar or two, often they're probably going to be willing to steal $1,000 as well. The trustworthiness of a person goes to the very core in all aspects of their lives. And he's challenging us as believers to make sure that we're faithful in everything we do, that we use our times, talents, and treasures for his glory and not our own, to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world around us. And Jesus closes out in verse 13 where he reminds us, no servant can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You know, money inside of this passage is referring to everything money can buy us. All the possessions of the world, all the things that we think that the world will give us to bring us joy. And on the other hand, we have God. And we can't serve both. And from a spiritual standpoint, every one of us has a master to choose. We can't choose to serve two at the same time, because we'll always let one down. When money is our master, there's no room for God, because God asks for a single-hearted obedience and devotion to him. So my question for you today is simple. Who is your master? Where does all your time, talent, and treasure go? Is it for your own glory? Is it for your own gratification? Is it for your own advancement? Or is God your master? Is he the one that you serve? Are you using your time, talents, and resources to bring him honor and to bring him glory? You know, we have a fallen world around us, a world that is broken and needs to see Jesus. God has given us all the tools and the resources we need to reach the world around us. But we have to choose on whether or not to use it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to praise and to worship you. Father, I ask that this morning that you help guide our hearts and our minds, that we may see what we're holding back from you, that we may see where our master is. Is it you or is it things of this world? And Lord, may we turn towards you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's who I am. It's who I am.
This week, may you count your blessings, your time, your talents, your treasures that God has given you. And may you use it for His glory, using it for every opportunity to lead others to know who He is and the love that He has for them. If we want to transform our world, it takes us boldly stepping out and using the gifts that God has given us for Him. God bless. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us today from Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.